Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, how are you? Jim Stackpool here, from Certainty Advice Group, with another podcast in our Certainty series, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible listening to this better understand and position the financial advice that they read or hear about or receive to make sure it's truly in their best interests, or in fact, are there other inappropriate incentives that are attached sometimes to the advice we hear because it is in fact aimed to serve the interest of whoever is providing that advice. But today, a couple of topics is this age of anxiety, continuing the theme that we have seen in an Economist leader recently, but also suggestions of the need for more price regulation. Alan Kohler, who's writer for News Limited newspaper, The Australian, is in fact comparing advice pricing to electricity pricing, which should be regulated. And with all of us working Australians being investors through our superannuation and often investors in their own right, what should we know about this? Well, today I'm lucky to have Anne-Marie Humphreys. Anne-Marie is principal and owner of Huon Financial Planning, H-U-O-N Financial Planning, in the lovely town, border town of Albury, on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. HuonFinancial.com.au acts as a principal advisor, a certainty advisor, in fact, for a wide variety of their clients, both individuals and couples from in and around the Albury area. And everything they do is purely remunerated on the quality of the advice provided and no other means. So I started by asking Anne-Marie, what's the effect of these headline articles and some of the changes that's been talked about in the marketplace today?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, to be honest, Jim, I'm old enough to remember, you know, the days where, you know, economic forecasts and all that sort of stuff weren't given the sort of endless media attention that we're seeing now. I guess the reality is also I started my career as an economist, so I know to be enormously sceptical of any sort of financial forecasts. But, you know, the reality is recessions and, you know, more broadly that economic cycle lives on. You know, you do see periods of strong growth and you see periods of weak growth. That's, or economies contracting. I hate the term negative growth, sorry.
Yeah. But so with that background, as an economist, a background working in government, a background now very much deep in the financial lives of your clients there at Huon Financial Planning in Albury, do articles like this cause you to lose sleep?
Look, you know, absolutely not, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I think there's a degree of being a realist. And I think, look, definitely there's some challenges out there. We're in a very low growth environment. There's a lot of uncertainties. But you know what? There always is. I think, and what we see is that the media really sort of feeds off this stuff. So you do see these sorts of articles. I always like the terminology that Carl Richards used, where he describes a lot of the financial media, whether that's written or spoken, as financial pornography. And I actually don't agree, in all honesty. Mm. And what it's all designed to do is to create fear and uncertainty for our clients. But, you know, when you say about losing sleep, we understand that, but we certainly don't buy into it because really it's that fear and that temptation to act on that fear that creates a greater risk for our clients and particularly for their longer-term financial well-being. So really what our role is to, as the advisor and as a certainty advisor, is to step back from all that noise, not buy into it and certainly not add to it. Yeah, you know, we need to manage risk, get all of that. So in terms of how we deal with clients, Jim, it's very much about saying focus on what you can control. You've got well-diversified portfolios. We keep costs as low as we can. We don't try and time the markets. We don't try and pick the next big thing. And we don't chase past returns because we know all of those things actually detract from returns. What it's really about is having that sort of, I think, the strong processes, but also having the, you know, accessing the specialist investment management, you know, that really for our client portfolios and then sticking with them. You have to trust the process and ride out the cycles. And we know that ultimately in terms of long-term outcomes, that's going to be the major determinant of our clients' long-term investment success. You know, not any of those other factors, and certainly not, you know, whether there's a recession in Australia, you know, two consecutive quarters of negative growth. In the long term, that stuff really doesn't matter.
On the flip side, there's also this increasing debate, when we saw one recently with Alan Kohler in a recent Australian paper, in The Australian, I should say, talking about regulating advice pricing, because in Alan's, and maybe he might be echoing the views of many, he sees superannuation, which all Australians are vested in compulsorily, superannuation and advice being two sides of a similar coin.
Yeah, and I think where, you know, where that's really missed the point in many ways, I actually don't agree with the Kohler article. Oh, there's aspects of it that I can see the point he's making, but fundamentally I think there needs to be a clear distinction between product and advice. I mean, really, financial advice is, for example, not just about super, because it encompasses so much more than that. You know, super, when we're working with our clients, it may or may not be part of the advice that we provide. It'll depend on the what the client actually needs, what they're seeking, you know, our advice in relation to. There's so many other variables that actually impact on that.
Mm.
And then what the client ultimately pays for that advice, really, you know, it has to be determined by the nature of the advice itself and the value that that's providing to the client. Somehow this idea that you could specify that, you know, you pay X dollars for financial advice, I can't see how it will work. I don't see it in any other professions. I don't see lawyers or accountants having, you know, price setting.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be accountability to the price, but I think where I probably do see the point that he was making in that article is that, yeah, you know, price is important and costs are important. And I think there has to be a very clear delineation between product and advice, because when you, what we're seeing is when you do blur those edges, so where payment for advice is taken from product, it's very, very difficult to be very clear and transparent around that. So, you know, I do agree that there should be a clear separation between the two. You know, we need to be able to more clearly explain what professional financial advice is. It's not just about, you know, you can make a certain level of super contributions a year, or if you can start a pension or an income stream. You know, there's so much more to what we do as, well, in terms of holistic advice. You know, there is a place, I think, where if a client has a very simple query about superannuation, that almost largely factual sort of thing, yeah, look, there is a place for that to be able to go. But there's so many other factors that can affect whether a client should be putting, making extra super contributions or not. I'm just really nervous of or uncomfortable with very narrowly focused advice, because I think there's the potential for a lot of unintended consequences, because you haven't asked enough questions. You don't have a deep enough understanding of a client's overall position. To focus on just one narrow aspect of advice and just to deliver it very cheaply, I think risks creating more problems than it solves. I mean, one of the things I don't have any problems with is the idea of, and the point that he makes in the article, that disclosure in and of itself is not enough. That's pretty clear. So, yeah, certainly I think as a profession, the sooner we move to much more transparent pricing and have that very clear separation between advice and product, you know, the better for that.
Yeah, so I guess the bulk of the people listening to this and read Kohler, if they do, are probably seeing the price of the advice linked to the product they need managing.
Yeah.
And what you're suggesting is that the price of the advice has got very little to do with the product they're managing, and as compared to the complexities that clients are facing.
Absolutely. Product, you know, may or may not be only, you know, might be only part of the solution, and in fact often is, you know. If a client has an existing product, be it superannuation or investments or whatever, they may in fact be perfectly suitable to their objectives, and what they need is the coaching around that, or the context of what they need to be doing to, you know, to achieve their broader objectives there. So the product itself is only very much a part of the story, and it's something that should, you know, it comes later, I think, in these lives anyway. So, yeah. So that's why, you know, I don't really think the analogy of the electricity is a good one. It is a professional service.
Are we pricing advice away from too many Australians, or do you see that that's going to be addressed by firstly having a conversation about value before you have a conversation about pricing?
Yeah. Look, I think the reality is that there are some factors at work that are certainly do increase the cost of providing advice, but that doesn't determine the value. And look, if what we're doing, if we can't, as an advisor, sufficient value to justify whatever we charge a client, and the client can't see the value for that, well, in all honesty, nor should they pay. One of the things I always do when I see these articles, I'm saying, well, what's the agenda here? You've always got to look through it. Why are they doing this? We know the negative headlines and the creating fear that you know, that grabs the attention. They'll get more clicks, posts, whatever else. They saw more advertising. So it is so important to look through that noise. And if we focus the advice so narrowly on product, I think we're just going to feed that short-term reactive sort of thinking. You know, there has to be someone or something in the system that steps back from that and actually helps people to make good financial decisions, not to be reacting to this sort of stuff all the time. There's no shortage of evidence out there to show that sort of short-term performance chasing destroys wealth. You know, there's no evidence that, you know, Kohler writing an article about how he likes this particular share or this fund adds any value long-term.
Okay. In summary, that this stuff we see The Economist week or so ago will continue about the uncertainties, in fact, but may even increase. And the debate about regulation of pricing might have some relevance from purely a product perspective, but most consumers still don't understand the difference between a product pricing proposition and a non-product pricing that proposition, which is totally based upon the value that's being delivered.
Yeah. But I think also, Jim, we have to be realistic, because, you know, could the average consumer be expected to without having that properly explained to them as well? You know, that the experience, that's the other thing, you know, that we're up against. So, yeah, absolutely, it was an issue. But what I describe as old world advice, where you had your, you know, your AMP advisor flogging your AMP superannuation product, or your MLC advisor flogging, you know, your MLC MasterKeep, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was still product-based advice, even though
it wasn't product-based advice. That wasn't really financial advice, or how I think financial advice.
There you are, Anne-Marie Humphreys from Huon Financial Planning on the gorgeous border town of Albury between New South Wales and Victoria. What would you take from that? I took three things. One is acting on fear, I think Anne-Marie said. Acting on fear can create sometimes the biggest threats to our long-term financial well-being. Secondly, making these stories and hearing these stories about Kohler's regulation of price suggestions or articles of potential recessions and further anxiety may make us, in fact, more susceptible to make unnecessary changes, as things sometimes may not be as different or as anxious as those putting out these articles and getting us to read this stuff might make us out to believe. And thirdly, in our very busy lives, we tend to grab on whatever anchor we can quickly see or recognise, and sometimes these anchors make us make decisions too quickly, as we heavily rely upon information which may in fact hinder the decisions we make for our longer term financial well-being, and thus the reason for great advisors without any conflict whatsoever, like Anne-Marie Humphreys at Huon. So certainly advisors, we adhere to the Australia's highest and only professional standard established with the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission and IP Australia, first type of standards of its type lodged with the ACCC, which ensures no real or perceived conflict in comprehensive advice. So thanks to Anne-Marie Humphreys, Principal of Huon Financial Planning, a great advisory firm down there in Albury, changing the perceptions of what we believe actually is going to become to known as professional financial advice, making great differences in her clients' lives by the professional care, direction and expertise provided. Love to get your feedback. Thanks very much for listening. I look forward to our next session together. Cheers for now.
Thanks for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, please head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.